Welcome to the Roma Press Podcast with Jun Solano and Andy Mattioli.
Hello, everyone. It is another episode of the Roma Press Podcast. I hope you are doing well. Still just myself for today. Andy is still a bit under the weather, but he should be back on the next episode. And I suppose it is a good thing, because I wouldn't want anybody else to suffer as much as I'm sure we all have following Bologna defeating Roma 2-0 this evening in what it was nothing short of a disaster class. We will get into that shortly. Very quickly, though, I thank you to our newest patron over at Patreon, Khan. We thank you, Khan, for your support. If you'd like to join the group chat, which actually turned into usually it is a psychiatric ward of a hospital, but this time it was more like a courtroom, because there was a lot of argument, discussion going back and forth as to how to fix this thing. But anyway, if you would like to join the court, so to speak, you can go to patreon.com/RomaPress. And of course, thank you to everybody for the support on YouTube as well. If you could subscribe, leave a like, all of those good things that you hear in every single YouTube video that you watch, youtube.com/@IsRomaPress. Also, just a forewarning, between tonight and the next couple of days, there are going to be some updates to the website. It's the long and the short of it, because as you all know, the technical team here, beyond Andy and myself, is nobody. It is just us. So when it comes to like the technical aspects of the website, we are very, very limited in our knowledge of it. And it may take us longer than some of the other websites who have more staff at disposal to get some things fixed and updated. But in case you run into issues regarding perhaps a slide running slower, it looks just slightly different. Just know we are doing a couple of updates to make the website function far better than it has to date. I mean, it has been almost 10 years, more than 10 years since the site has been around, but hopefully with this next round of updates, it will function far better, particularly for those of you on mobile, which is, according to our traffic report, like 85% of you. So just a forewarning. Thank you for the patience and, again, the support. It is, again, just handling myself. So that is where things like the Patreon and even subscribing on YouTube and watching and leaving a like, it really, really helps us in the sense of, you know, it is just us. We aren't like, Forza Roma or even La Roma 24. Some of these sites just have far more resources at their disposal. It is just Andy and myself. So again, thank you all for your patience. It truly does mean a lot. I am so, so appreciative for it. I'm trying to see if I can draw out the giving thanks and showing my appreciation to all of you in any other way as a means to avoid having to discuss Roma and their latest defeat, this time to Bologna. I don't even really know where to start with this one, because it really was, again, a disaster class in every sense of the word. Now, it depends on the general outlook you have at Roma to begin with, because I saw, particularly in the aftermath of the final result and even some of the things following the words of Jose Mourinho in the post-match, in our group chat at least, there was a lot of blame being thrown to Jose Mourinho, a lot of blame being thrown to the players, a lot of blame being thrown to Thiago Pinto, the Friedkins. It seems like the fault was not really aimed at one person. And generally, that is my view when it comes to performances like this. The problem is, these matches, they happen week to week, sometimes two times per week in Serie A. And you can't take each match and come to some large, profound, you know, analysis or some profound decision after each of those. You have to obviously take all of these smaller, bits and pieces of the season, throw them into the bowl and see what kind of recipe comes out ultimately at the end. And that is how you base decisions on how to move forward. For me, I really don't know where to go with this one, simply because I view games like tonight's, and you have to take the basis of, okay, no Romelu Lukaku, no Paulo Dybala, without question, the two best players of Roma. And you have to begin your judgment knowing that, the two most talented players, the two most potent attackers, the two most players of quality within the team, they are not at your disposal. So, okay, so we're going to judge things from that point of view. It still does not make me feel any better, because one of the things I mentioned to our patrons, and I said this even in the post-match, the thing that irked me about tonight most, above all, was I think I perhaps, and maybe even some of you are guilty of this as well, to what extent, I don't know. But I do think I overestimated perhaps the quality, the ability of many of these players of Roma. For instance, and let me just preface this with saying, when you have a match as bad as tonight's, focusing on one single individual is going to miss the bigger picture. But I do think when you have all of these collective poor performances from individuals, they are worth analyzing. And the one that is probably, and I'm sure, again, most of you felt similar, the one that just jumps out to me the most is Lorenzo Pellegrini. And the factors that go into that are a couple of things. First, your captain. Secondly, one of the highest paid of Roma. One of the highest paid. He got a very large renewal not long ago. This is a guy that is expected to deliver. If you just created a hierarchy of Roma, of what your expectations are, you would probably have Lorenzo Pellegrini in the top 3 to 5 as what your expectations are in terms of output. Romelu Lukaku, Paulo Dybala, whoever you put below, we can debate that some other time. I assume most would have Pellegrini, Cristante, add whichever other name you view being worthy in that position. The thing that irked me again tonight from Pellegrini was nothing came off. Nothing seemed to be going right for him. And you can tell that once it started to go wrong for him tonight, he did not appear as if he was going to ever overcome the problems, as if he was ever going to find a way to work through. When it comes to Pellegrini, my criticisms of him have always been the same. And for those of you who have listened to the podcast for a number of years, one of the earlier listeners, I have been very hard, or at the beginning, when Lorenzo Pellegrini returned to the club, 2016-2017, I was very, 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 very hard on him, because he came back with some high expectations. Now, he was very young at the time. So do I think I was a bit unfair in my level of criticism given his age? Of course, I do think I was far too harsh. However, I think the validity, or at the heart of what I was saying, it was twofold. And more so had to do, because obviously this more so had to do with the time he returned. It was under Eusebio Di Francesco. I'm sorry, I said 2016-2017. It was 2017-2018. He comes back, Eusebio Di Francesco. We know he's going to play in a 4-3-3. He has to do the role of mezzala, and he is horrible at it. Let's just call it for what it was. Hey, he was horrible at it. Now, he did show flashes, but my biggest issue with Pellegrini was, this guy is not made to be mezzala. And I think that was a fair assessment, considering that really we did not see him sort of take the leap in quality, so to speak, until we see him in that derby come on against Lazio and do that heel shot for the goal And that is when he has to play in a more advanced position. I would say that was sort of the beginning of the current version of Pellegrini that we have. And my next criticism was the consistency. This guy, the flashes that he shows, which, by the way, are immense. When he shows these flashes of quality that he possesses, superb player, a Italian international, a talented, high-quality player. The issue is with him, though. He does not show that consistently. Now, this season, perhaps we can factor in the, or we should factor in the injuries to that. And I do not think that is an unfair thing to say. However, when you have a match like tonight, where you know Paulo Dybala, Romelu Lukaku are not available, your two best players, your two most potent attackers, the ones who can create something from nothing, you, the captain, Lorenzo Pellegrini, one of the highest paid of the squad of Roma, this is your opportunity, and this is a match in which you should feel obligated to show more, to show some character, to step up, and to do something, and reach deep inside to kind of carry the weight with no Dybala, no Lukaku, and he was so poor. He was so poor, as, by the way, was the entire midfield. I don't want to let anybody else off the hook. The thing that confuses me, and as disappointed as I was with Pellegrini tonight, I have to lay some of this on to Jose Mourinho. This is year three under Jose Mourinho, and as much as I love the guy, I will be the first to admit, perhaps in times where I should have been more critical of him, particularly from a tactical point of view, I have been willing to give him the benefit of the doubt, because without question, he is the best manager that has stepped foot into Trigoria since Fabio Capello. And there's no debate on this. I have obviously been willing to give him a lot more leeway than I would to Eusebio Di Francesco, and I think everybody would be willing to do the same. For the midfield to be functioning and to appear so disjointed in your third season like this, to show no balance, to have this midfield where you have Paredes, Cristante, Pellegrini, to appear so foreign to each other, having very no understanding of the game of one another, I don't understand it. I do not understand it. Now, Andy has said on here before, and I do agree, this is one thing that should have been done, and I cannot believe it has not been done to this point. Cristante, you have to put him at the heart of the midfield as the more defensive of the midfielders, and move Paredes to the mezzala role. That's what I would do. Beyond that, though, there is something so fundamentally broken with the way Roma functions, or I should say, does not function in the midfield. I do not understand it. I do not understand it, because I would say this season, more so than the rest, again, I will reiterate my position, that I think this Roma, just in terms of depth, now, as to the quality of that depth, of course, we can discuss it. They do have more options this season. But I'm not even referring to the options that they have as to what my complaints are with this midfield. It doesn't matter who is in there. The midfield never seems to function. Probably there is something broken. There is something broken from a technical perspective as to why we cannot get any consistency in output in the middle of the pitch from Roma. I do not understand it. I do not understand it at all. I don't. And if we want to talk about the midfield, I can't even bring myself to speak of Renato Sanchez. It is beyond parody at this point. It's beyond parody. There's no reason to even discuss beyond the absurdity of it all, just how much of a disaster that deal has been. But what I was getting to before I went into this rant on the midfield, perhaps I overestimated most of these players. Perhaps I thought they were far more capable of showing some things than they actually are. Perhaps I put too much faith into Diego Llorente, into Evrandica, into guys like, now everybody knows I was never a huge fan of Paredes, but maybe I actually thought in my head that he's better than he actually is. And these other guys beyond Romelu Lukaku, Paulo Dybala, beyond them, the thing that I saw tonight that frightens me to such an unhealthy level is the drop-off in quality. Lukaku, Paulo Dybala. There is such a large gulf between those two and the rest that I think we saw on full display tonight just what is missing. Somebody asked to me, I think it was Matteo Bonetti on Twitter. He posted something to the effect of, with Thiago Motta, if you put Thiago Motta in the position of Jose Mourinho, would Roma have more points or less points? And my response was, well, unless Thiago Motta can inject many of these guys with quality, I really don't think it is going to matter a whole lot, because if you just look in the gap between Dybala, Lukaku, and the rest of these guys, it is scary. It is frightening. I am frightened by how much quality Roma lack beyond those two. I saw nothing from anybody tonight. I'm trying to think of who at least showed some signs of life, but really nobody jumps out to me. If we want to even talk about N'Golo, Rui Patricio, it's not even worth discussing any further at this point. He has been underwhelming. The guy we saw in the first season at Roma appears to have been, a case of the body snatcher, so to speak. I think that guy is gone and we are never going to see him again. So I don't know what to think. I don't know how I should feel, because even guys like Christensen, I am not just saying this because he had the home goal, but I don't understand. Okay. What happened? Roma were functioning well with Karsdorp in there. Why are we doing this thing where now we are switching? It seems like every single weekend we're going from Karsdorp to Christensen. I don't understand it. Again, maybe I thought both of them are better players than they actually are. I don't know. I don't know what the thing is. But again, I keep getting off track. The thing I was going to and referring to about the thing of Thiago Motta, Jose Mourinho, the question that was posed, somebody responded after I said, well, unless, you know, Thiago Motta can inject some of these guys with actual footballing quality, I don't think it is going to matter. And he said, well, are you saying that the squad of Bologna is stronger than that of Roma? And I said, well, no, of course not. But Verona, Salernitana, Genoa, their squads are not better than Roma either, and they still get the result. That's a silly way to pose a question, but in all seriousness, I think where that leads us, the long and short of it is, I think maybe we have just overestimated many of these guys. I look at what we saw today, and you would think logically from an elementary perspective that, okay, no Lukaku, no Dybala. You still have very, very, or what you think at least are very viable, very quality options off in the bench in Andrea Belotti, Stefan El Shaarawy. And I'm trying to think of very clear-cut scoring opportunities. They didn't arrive. In fact, let me throw some of the data on from this match right now. You have Roma with less possession, but same shots, more shots on target. They have the higher XG. So what am I to draw from this? Now, again, for the expected goals, when you have a higher expected goal than your opponent and you concede two, you score zero, to me, that comes to you being wasteful and your goalkeeper really... I'm trying to think of a polite way to say this. fumbling his opportunities to keep the ball out from the back of the net. That's probably the kindest way I can describe Rui Patricio. But in all seriousness, I don't know how I am supposed to feel about tonight, because I think this was one of two or three matches so far this season where Roma had no Lukaku and no Paulo Dybala at their disposal. And I just don't understand how you have a team so devoid of ideas, so devoid of what looked like any semblance of character. There was about the 10 to 15 minutes stretch in that second half, particularly when Azmoun came on, that he seemed to breathe a bit of life into the team. But it just looked like a team that did not give up, but the team that possessed little to no belief in themselves. I don't know about you, but at no point did I see anything from Roma that led me to believe they were going to overturn this one tonight. I saw nothing that made me feel as if, okay, you know what? They conceded twice. They are probably going to lose this. But we are at least seeing signs of life. We are at least seeing some fire from them. Something to realize that they know they really, really missed this opportunity. They screwed it up. But we're still going to show that fire, that fight, and we're going to do it until the very end. I did not see that. And then in the post-match, Jose Mourinho speaking, it felt like, again, a funeral procession, as if we were waiting ceremony isn't the word. We were waiting for the proceedings to begin for the funeral. I mean, the way the guy was talking, he is being asked. And now, of course, it is DAZN, so you have to keep that in the back of your mind. Anytime you hear a stupid question, well, okay, it is DAZN. We are not working with the highest quality of journalistic standards here. So, of course, he is going to be asked a very dumb question, which he was. They never fail to pull through when it comes to just a question that makes you shake your head. But he's being asked about, you know, are you going to quit? Could you be sacked? What is going to happen here? Again, you would have thought this was season over, end of odds of being able to finish in Champions League place goes from 75% to zero just with this one match. Of course, the season is not lost with this one. They can easily come back and overturn this thing. They have two matches coming up that are two matches. Their next four matches are massive. They have Napoli, Juve, Atalanta, and then Milan. My gosh, if you win all four of those, we won't even remember this evening against Bologna. If they win all four of those, tonight will go out of our heads. We won't even remember what happened today other than a defeat. We won't remember this performance. That's how things in football, they can change just like that. It can easily be overturned. But the signs or the lack of signs of life from tonight, that for me is the most concerning. And again, I just find myself terrified by the prospect that perhaps we have overestimated the quality, the ability of many of these players, and by extension, Roma as a whole. I don't know why they cannot still find ways to function as a unit in midfield, even in defense. Gianluca Mancini comes back from injury. He's thrown right into it tonight. He did not perform good. I didn't expect him to. If we want to put some fault into Jose Mourinho, I think undoubtedly you should have put Brian Cristante at the back, and then you bring on Bove in midfield. I think that was the easiest and most logical change of all time. I think that probably should have been done from the beginning of the match, but still, okay, fine. If we want to nitpick, these little decisions, I think we could do that all evening with every single player on the pitch. Because again, there was nobody who really stood head and shoulders above the rest. I thought everybody was about as mediocre and or underwhelming as you could get as a collective. I mean, again, it was not as if you had one performer standing out while 10 others were just not up to par tonight. It was all 11. All 11 were underwhelming. So I don't know exactly what sort of grand conclusions we can draw. But for me, my biggest fear is that perhaps we just overestimated many of these guys. And that is the thing I keep finding myself drawn to, because we are in this position so many times. This happens time and time and time again. And I've said this in the last few episodes, but coming into tonight, before Roma even kicked off, you knew a couple of things. You knew Napoli, Fiorentina have leaped ahead of you in the table. So you know what? To keep pace, you need to win, or at least, at worst, get a draw. Get some form of result tonight. They couldn't do it. They couldn't do it. We saw Milan win. We saw Inter, who, by the way, hand to them the Scudetto right now. I think they are so vastly superior to the next best that it almost seems like we are wasting time allowing them to finish out the remainder of their games, because they are so incredibly superior to everybody else. I fail to see any reason to even have Scudetto race. Just make it now where we have a race for Champions League, because Inter so much better than the rest. I just think Inzaghi, they have this one locked up. Nobody's going to come close, in my opinion. But nonetheless, I fear that maybe just Roma is not good as many of us thought or had hoped. And there is obviously, with the, if that actually turns out to be the truth, if that turns out to be the case, there's nothing you can do about it now. The January transfer market, transfer window is not going to help you in any way. There is no magic trick. There is no elixir that can be done to breathe life into this team. So that's where I find myself. Obviously, a very dark place. I'm sure many of you are in the very same position. I just have a very difficult time understanding this Roma. And to be fair, I'm sure Jose Mourinho feels the same. But you know what? Even in a match like tonight, where there is just a very clear and evident lack of quality on the pitch, there are some things that Jose Mourinho has to answer for. And that is something that we should expect from a manager of his caliber. But in fairness to him, I you would think most of the players that took the pitch tonight would at least be able to give you something that gives you the ability to fight against Bologna. A Bologna that has been superb this season at home. Absolutely. I agree. I understand it. But still gives you a chance to at least fight for a result. And we did not see that from anybody tonight. And that is the thing that I find myself most scared about, because you have these four matches now. You have Napoli, Juve, Atalanta, Milan. I just said in a perfect world, four victories from those, we don't even remember tonight. We forget it even happens. It becomes erased from our memory. But then there's the opposite of that, where oof. In all seriousness, from these next four, for me, anything worse than two wins, one draw, and one defeat is a failure and unacceptable. Unacceptable. You have to win at least two of these. You cannot afford to lose more than one. And you know what? Given how bad they messed up the early portion of this season, I hate coming back to this, but those dropped points against Salernitana and Verona, they get worse and worse and worse and worse as this season progresses. It dropping those points in most years would qualify as a war crime. They had rules against dropping points like this at the Geneva Convention. That's how bad those dropped points were in that first month. We can talk about tonight as much as we want, but really, Roma only have themselves to blame for being in this position where they are now forced to win the majority of these difficult games because they screwed it up so badly against these Provinciali who are going to be in Serie B next season, and that is their own fault. So this is the position they are in. These next four, this is your season. These next four, this is it. We will know one way or another. Are Roma fighting for Champions League? Are Roma going to have to settle for Conference League again? Is Jose Mourinho going to remain at Roma? Is Thiago Pinto going to remain at Roma? There are so many things on the line for not only the remainder of this season, but for the next 1 to 2 seasons. This is where it will probably be defined. And after tonight, again, I will say it one final time, given how much is on the line in these next few matches, what we saw tonight is not going to make you feel better entering these four games against four difficult opponents in four matches that you know you have to win at least two of them. I would not fault anybody who says they have to win three. This is the position you are in. This is what happens when you drop points to Verona. This is what happens when you concede 2 goals at home to Salernitana, to a 79-year-old Antonio Candreva. This is what happens. This is what happens. So we will have to wait and see. But obviously tonight is not going to fill me with any hope. It's not going to fill you with any hope. And now we just have to keep our fingers crossed that the players are fully aware of how badly, how underwhelming they were against Bologna, how the lack of character or spirit that was on display cannot be tolerated, is not acceptable. And it's do or die now. This is it. This difficult December and half of January, you started with a victory over Sassuolo. You drew at home to Fiorentina, who pulled one out of their arse against Verona. And now you have lost to Bologna. Not good. Not good. Not good. But you can turn the entire thing around against Napoli, starting with Napoli, then against Juve, then Atalanta, then Milan. If you win four of those, we don't even remember tonight. If you lose all four of those, you might as well start etching into the stone of the date of death for the season. But again, this is the season. These next four league games, this is sort of the path that Roma are on. We have reached a crossroad. Which way are we going to go? The only thing I hope is that tonight serves as a lesson, and that is something we have heard thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of times from Jose Mourinho, from the players. I still have I still have Alessandro Florenzi, the 29 interviews he did about Testa alta. We hope tonight serves as a lesson for Roma. I can't do that anymore. I'm done with the lessons. I'm tired of. It is time for them to go out and show to us that they can implement these things they supposedly learned. This is it. This is the opportunity. These four matches. Let's see what happens. I can't believe again. We are going on almost 34 minutes now. Andy will be back later this week. I'm trying to think what else. I think that is all I have. This is a season. This is a season. This is it right here. These next four games. What happens here? Jose Mourinho, is he going to continue at Roma? Is Thiago Pinto going to continue at Roma? So much on the line in these next four games. Let's see what happens. We will keep our fingers crossed. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for your support again. It truly does mean everything. When there are difficult matches like this and I have to go on stupid, radio stations and do an interview. Oh, what do you think about Roma? How do you think it did? And it is so difficult to stomach and get through because it's like pulling, it's it's regurgitating the nightmare that you had just watched, having it reoccur over and over and over and over and over again. But truly, I mean, being able to interact with all of you and all of the support you have shown through all of these years, it from the bottom of my heart, I can't thank you all enough. Truly, it's overwhelming at times, and I just can't thank you all enough for how much you have shown to Andy and myself. We greatly appreciate it. So we will talk to you in a few days. Until then, take care. Ciao.